If you make a big reduction in your nutrition and the calories you're eating, you're going to see a lot of negative association. Yeah, you'll build up a lot of fat loss because you're saving on a lot of calories, but you're also not going to be able to go out to eat with your friends. You're not going to be able to eat some of the foods that you are higher in calories that you still enjoy. Too much of a reduction is not a good thing, but then too little of a reduction may not be fast enough results for you to even be motivated to continue. So you need to find a balance, and that's literally what we're talking about when we're talking about calorie restriction. We simply mean a healthy reduction for you to see fast enough results that are motivating to you. Welcome to the Stronger, Fitter, Happier podcast. I'm your host, Vin, and today I am joined by my co-hosts, Sadie and Nikhil.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
So welcome back to the episode if you are coming back. Welcome for the first time if you're a first-time listener. To today's episode, we're going to be discussing basically the perfect diet. So what is the perfect diet? And is there even such a thing as the perfect diet? And today's episode is going to be geared around kind of the weight loss and the fat loss kind of diet. So if you are someone who's trying to lose weight, trying to, you know, change their body shape or change their health or change their fitness, and you're trying to do it through your nutrition and your diet, then this episode is for you. So before we get started in today's episode, there's something I actually wanted to share with you guys. So do you remember a few episodes ago, or if you don't remember because you don't listen to our podcast regularly, shame on you, we spoke about something about self-care and self-love and how you can make yourself feel a lot better about yourself if you're feeling low. So right now, you know, the UK is still in a lockdown and a lot of people are probably feeling a bit shitty. And the news this week with things, you know, improving and having like an outline may have improved your mood and improved you feeling good, but it may not have as well. So I wanted to share something with you. So anyway, 2.5 weeks it's been since I last trained. So yesterday was the first day, which is the 22nd of Feb, that I did a workout. And it was my version of self-care, a way to just basically look after myself. And automatically, it made me feel better. It lifted my spirits a little bit, made me feel a lot better. And it made me do other acts of self-care automatically. And that's what we're talking about when we were talking about feeling good about yourself, improving your self-worth, making yourself feel worthy of love and care. One act of self-care makes you feel a little bit more worthy, improves your self-worth. And then it led to another act of self-care, which in turn then does the same thing. And when you feel worthy, you feel good about yourself. You feel good about who you are as a person. And I just wanted to share that as a quick tip. So someone who is feeling a bit rough, bit low, bit rubbish about themselves, do anything that is caring for yourself to just instantly make yourself feel a little bit better. So I just wanted to share that before we get stuck into today's episode. So hopefully if you're someone listening, that will help you out. What I wanted to ask you guys was, what is your definition of a perfect diet? What would you define as, if you were going to prescribe a diet to someone, what would it be basically? What are the characteristics?
I think I wouldn't put, sometimes I put imperfect in there, I don't quite agree with, because I don't really think there is the perfect diet. Like, and again, everything is different for everyone. Like what one fits maybe me and works for me, might not work for you guys. So I think when you look at diet, and if you was to say the perfect diet, one, I don't personally think that perfect should be in that sentence. But two, I think it's one that supports your goals, one that suits you, not anyone else, just one that suits you, one that suits your lifestyle, like with currently how you, like if you've got a busy lifestyle and you've got kids and you're working, one that supports that and you can suit it around that. I think that's the most important thing to cover there and what you need to think about.
Okay. And then what about you, Nikhil?
So yeah, I pretty much agree with Sadie there. So all of those things, but then one that sort of respects everything that you believe in and sort of, so, you know, if you've got any particular ethics and morals like veganism, vegetarianism, those sort of things, it respects that. It's affordable to the individual, which I think is a big thing as well. You know, it has to respect, there's no point on jumping on a diet which you simply can't afford to sustain if it requires you to buy, I don't know, a bunch of organic things and weird and wonderful bits, quote unquote, like superfoods and all that, that's really expensive and hard to find. One that's respectful to your tastes as well. So foods that you actually enjoy. And what else? Yeah, just like respects you, your beliefs, your tastes, your affordability. And again, yeah, with the whole lifestyle, fits into your lifestyle, things that you can sort of manage on a day-to-day basis. It isn't sort of too hard for you to keep up with it and stuff like that. But
I think it's very individualized, isn't it? Like, there's not kind of one set answer, I think, for everybody. Very individualized what the perfect diet kind of is.
Yeah. And it's just like in today's society, the word diet is now instantly associated with something that's fatty or like losing weight. Whereas actually a diet is simply what you eat on a day-to-day basis. It doesn't have to be orientated towards either fat loss, muscle gain, or, you know, a diet doesn't mean that you are on a fat loss phase, for example. It's simply sort of what you eat on a day-to-day basis. But I think now it's just become associated that, like, my diet, essentially, someone says I'm on a diet or this is my diet, you assume that they're losing weight or trying to lose weight.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because if you look up the definition of diet, there's two definitions under the noun section. Mm-hmm. So the first one is the kinds of foods that a person, animal, or community habitually eats. That's it. So that's one example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, one definition. The other one, this is the noun definition. Another one is a special course of food to which a person restricts themselves, either to lose weight or for medical reasons.
Mm.
And then the verb is restricts oneself to small amounts or special kinds of food in order to lose weight.
Yeah.
So you can clearly understand why people have such a problem with the word diet, and why people associate as a negative thing or something that is quite restrictive, because in both definitions, with the noun and the verb, there's the word restricts and the word weight loss. And obviously, what we're talking about when we're talking about the perfect diet, and just the word diet is the first definition. So again, I'll repeat it. The kinds of foods that a person, animal, or community habitually eat. So that's literally what I mean when I'm talking about diet. Something you eat regularly. What is your method of eating to support whatever you're trying to achieve? And I personally think the perfect diet has about four characteristics. So one is that it helps you achieve your goals, whatever your goals are. Yeah, so the perfect diet is one that helps you achieve your goals. Number two is one that you can stick to for 80% of the time. And why I say 80% of the time is because nobody eats like that every day, regardless of whatever you follow. You may not want to eat like that for the rest of your life. Yeah. For example, if you're someone who regularly eats mainly nutritious sources of food and you eat really well, sometimes you may eat something that may not be classed as a nutritious, unprocessed source of food, for example, like pizza. But there's nothing wrong with that. So that's what I mean by something you regularly eat most of the time, so about 80% of the time. So those are two things. And then the other two things that I would probably say to someone is that the perfect diet does no harm. And what I mean by that is the reason why I've included that in there. So when you think about the first two, so someone who wants to basically just enjoy, their goal is to enjoy what they eat. So they may just eat pizza and drink a lot of alcohol. So that technically meets the first two, doesn't it? So that it's something you can regularly do if that's what you want to do. And it meets your goal because your goal is to just enjoy yourself. But it may potentially do harm to you. It may do harm to your health. It may do harm to your mental well-being. It may do harm to just generally you functioning because you're drinking a lot of alcohol. So there, it doesn't meet the perfect diet, even though that diet may be perfect for you. And then the last one is flexibility. So it's kind of like what you guys have mentioned about if meeting your needs, meeting your kind of like budget or your ethics, your moral issue, your issues, your morals, that sort of thing. So flexibility is a big thing, that it can be changed and altered to where you want it to fit in terms of yeah. your lifestyle. So you're going on holiday, you can adapt it to your holiday, like where you are. It's not something that's so rigid that you can't ever adapt and it causes you stress.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's why I say those. If those four principles are met, then technically your diet is more or less perfect. And that then opens up almost any nutrition protocol in the world. Almost any. I wouldn't say all of them, but almost any, because most nutrition protocols, that whether it's keto, whether it's high fat, low fat, high carb, low carb, high protein, low protein, whatever you, the way you want to eat, vegetarian, vegan, most of them can meet those principles.
Yeah.
So you may be listening to this thinking, well, then what is a perfect diet? Every diet. Well, yeah. If you think about it, like, you can literally make any nutrition protocol your point of call, like yeah. your way. And
yeah.
I think it's something that a lot of people struggle to grasp as a concept. So one thing that me and Nikhil do, like, Nikhil works with a lot of people one-to-one on nutrition. At Body and Beyond, we do this with nutrition as well. And then we also have our new project called Beyond the Diet. It's our group nutrition, like, club, and we help people overcome kind of basically restrictions around nutrition and help them find freedom with nutrition. And even like when we do this, we tell people when they first join the core principles of nutrition and why you can pretty much eat the way you want as long as you adhere to a few principles, which are the ones I've just kind of mentioned, and have freedom and have the perfect diet. And people are often blown away by this.
Yeah, it's almost untrue, isn't it? It's like, no, you must, there must be something else. Like, are you sure?
Yeah, like, yeah, there must be some rules that have to follow to lose weight or to do this, to do that. And it's not like that. Like, you can literally pretty much eat the way you prefer to and get into shape and do whatever you want in terms of your goals and stuff. Because everyone's nutrition goals are different.
Mm.
So some people eat because they just want to live longer. They want to be healthy. They want to be fit. Some people eat in a certain way because they are trying to lose weight. And I know right now weight loss is getting a lot of stick in terms of like, oh, like, what's, you know, if you talk about diet and weight loss, you're almost someone who is doing harm to people.
Mm, yeah.
And I totally disagree with that. I think weight loss can be a positive thing. Even if you, like, you know, there's a big movement right now that, like, you shouldn't promote weight loss, that you shouldn't be encouraging people to lose weight. And it's not that, you know, we're encouraging you to lose weight if you don't want to lose weight. We're encouraging people who are trying to lose weight to do it positively. Yeah. That's yeah. what we're about.
In a safe and healthy manner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So why is that not a good thing? Do you get what I mean? Why is it an unhealthy thing? And someone who's listening to this, who is in the whole, you know, camp of like, oh, you shouldn't be trying to promote weight loss. You should just let it happen naturally through, like, promoting a healthy diet. Because if that's what you're promoting, then weight loss will occur anyway. Then why do you need to even mention weight loss? Why would they may be thinking like, oh, it's because of, like, you know, things like calorie restriction. And, you know, we've spoken about it with the negative association with diet and stuff. But, like, calories, to lose weight, one of the principles you do have to follow is reducing your calorie intake.
Yeah.
And people then see that as, oh, that's like calorie controlling, calorie counting, calorie restriction. And we simply call it eating less than you're burning to lose weight, because that's science. Like, that's just how it works, how weight loss works. But someone else may look at it as like, well, isn't that just a negative thing, because your body needs those calories and you're not giving it to the body.
Yeah.
But how else do you lose weight?
Exactly.
You literally do have to create a deficit for your body to start losing weight. And that's not a negative thing to your body. So is there anything you guys, like, Nikhil, is there anything you want to add to how, like, why people may associate calorie restriction as a negative thing and how it's not necessarily a negative thing?
Yeah, I think it's, well, we were discussing this off air and sort of, I think because a handful or a group of people have had negative associations or come out of a diet at the wrong end of it, just due to the lack of support that they've got through it, they have then sort of generalized those feelings and thought, well, I've had a bad experience of it. And all of these other people have also had a bad experience with it who are the same as me. So that must mean all fat loss regimes, calorie sort of restriction to a certain extent is bad, and it's bad for everyone. Mm. Whereas if it's done in a safe, controlled, and to a certain extent, a supervised manner, it can be really, really successful. It can be really safe for the individual. It can, you know, we've all seen working as coaches, sort of the confidence that comes out of people, like what it can do to people's lives in terms of improving their health, cardiovascular, pre-diabetics, all of those sort of things. Even people that have sort of like joint issues, just losing a little bit of weight has alleviated a load of pain and things like that. So there are its definite positives. And I'm of the camp that if it's done in a safe way, a way that is supervised, and you know, the person is given the right tools and the education and not just told, right, restrict your calories, it's 1,000 calories, go off and do it, because we know there's a lot more to it. If it's done in that way, there's absolutely no reason why, one, the person can't succeed, and two, come out of it with a great relationship with food.
Yeah, and that's literally what we try and promote, isn't it? Like, we're helping people build habits. So like when you look at like what we do at Beyond a Diet, is one of the things we'll first talk about when they first join is talk about the principles of weight loss. What is it that causes weight loss when it comes to nutrition? Which is, like we've mentioned, reducing your calorie intakes below the amount you burn, like the calories you burn every day. So you're in a calorie deficit. We discuss how your metabolism works and how if you overeat slightly, doesn't mean you're going to gain loads of weight. There's a continuum, like you're in a deficit, and then further down in a deficit you're at neutral in terms of like you're eating to maintain your current weight, and then you're slightly overeating, and that doesn't even cause you to gain loads of weight. Especially if you're training, you can be building muscle, and then you can go well above the spectrum and then start to gain unhealthy amounts of weight and cause issues in terms of like when you become heavier and you become, I should change that word, as in not become heavier, when you gain excess amount of body fat that causes you health issues, that causes your body not to function in a healthy manner and causes your body not to function optimally, basically, for good health and good well-being and even physical and mental well-being as well. So when it gets to that point, then obviously you are above the spectrum and you are eating at a point where you shouldn't be, potentially, for you. So there's a big continuum, and we explain that. And then what we do over the course of the 8 weeks of that kind of challenge bit is, the reason why we do it as an 8 weeks is because it's accountable. People have like a point that they're trying to achieve, and you know, it creates that motivation level. But we do it through building habits. The whole 8 weeks is all about promoting good habits, overcoming any habits that they've set that not necessarily bad, but that are not supporting the goals that they're trying to achieve. So for example, if someone is trying to take control of their nutrition and not let their nutrition be in control of them, snacking and not being able to control the amount you eat and snack is, quote unquote, bad habit. There's nothing wrong with snacking, but if you're not in control of your snacking, then it's in control of you, and anything that's in control of you is not necessarily a positive thing, isn't it? Just like if your weight, when you're trying to control your weight, if that weight is in control of how you feel and how you look, then it's not a positive thing. But if you're in control of your weight loss and your mindset around it, then it's a positive thing. And that's what we try and promote: positive nutrition relationships, so that you can have a positive body relationship.
Absolutely.
And as a cheeky plug, if that is something of interest to you and you want to find out a bit more about what we do at Beyond a Diet, then go to beyondadiet.co.uk and you can find out more information and pre-register your interest for our next basically intake, which is on the 6th of March. So go and check that out. But going back to what we were talking about, it is all about having like a positive, healthy balance. And that is the perfect diet. When you have a positive relationship with the food that you're eating and it's promoting you to eat in a good way. And then calorie restriction, something that we wanted to touch on, gets a bad rap because people say it's not sustainable. Diets are not sustainable. So someone will literally be listening to this and thinking, well, that's all good and well, but what you're doing at Beyond a Diet is technically still a diet. You're putting someone on a calorie restrictive diet. You're telling them to eat less and it's not sustainable long term. They can't keep doing that forever. So what is the plan? What are you going to do? Like, they're going to stop doing that one day.
Yeah.
So to that, I would like to let someone else speak. So I'm going to let someone else take over on how we overcome that. And then I'll add any of my thoughts that aren't covered.
I was going to say, well, absolutely. It's not meant to be something that you do forever in terms of being in a calorie deficit anyway. So while that's true, yes, the calories have been restricted to a certain extent, depending on the individual, how deep the deficit is, so to speak. But the whole idea is when you're building habits along the way, you're then sort of setting yourself up for the future as well. So it might be however long the stint is being in a calorie deficit, 8, 12, 16, however many weeks. But the idea is to not be there forever, to sort of see this fat loss phase through, get to a healthy weight, and then eventually maintain, which is a lot, which gets overlooked a lot. People often enter programs or do a fat loss diet and they do the diet and then it's like, okay, wicked, got to my goal. Now let me just return back to how I was 3 months ago. And that is where the yo-yos come in, right? And you have people that have been through this cycle their whole adult life of going up, down, up, down, up, down. So part of a good fat loss diet does include that restriction. But while the restriction is happening, you're setting the person up to then be able to sustain it. So it might be met with short periods of tough times because we don't want to sugarcoat it. Yes, you can sort of get away with eating the foods that you want to eat, but there are going to be times that are a little bit tough where you're going to have to you make some sacrifices, but you don't have to suffer, right? You will have to make some sacrifices, but it doesn't have to be complete suffering as some people make it out to be. But it's also realizing that you don't have to do that forever and you're setting yourself up for the future if you do it the correct way.
Just to clear things up, what I want to make sure that you guys understand as well is when Nikhil says calorie restriction, he doesn't mean that someone who normally eats 2,000 calories is then eating 900,000 calories. It's not restriction in terms of like restricting you to small amounts of food. What we're talking about when we say the calorie restriction, the term we're using is what most people use, but what we literally mean is a calorie reduction.
Yeah.
So if you maintain weight at 2,000 calories, you're going to have to make a certain, like, let's say at least a 20% reduction, because if you want to see some decent level of progress, then that's the amount you're going to have to see. Like, do you go, I mean, it's a bit like saying, oh, like, I want to save some money, so I'm going to reduce my expenses, but I'll only do it by a pound. You're only going to save a pound a week then, aren't you? And it's not going to add up to a lot.
Yeah.
But if you said, I'm going to make a 20% reduction in my expenses, then you're going to see a bigger amount build up over a certain amounts of weeks. And it's a bit more motivating because you're seeing that accumulate. But let's say you made a big reduction in your expenses, that then negatively impacts your life.
Yeah, you might not be able to keep dipping into your savings.
You can't eat. You can't do all the luxurious things that allow you to have an enjoyable life. And it's the same way with your diet. If you make a big reduction in your nutrition and the calories you're eating, you're going to see a lot of negative association. Yeah, you'll build up a lot of fat loss because you're saving on a lot of calories, but you're also not going to be able to go out to eat with your friends. You're not going to be able to eat some of the foods that are higher in calories that you still enjoy. And I'm not even talking about quote unquote junk food or processed food like pizza or chips or fries for any American listeners. I'm literally talking about even an avocado can have a high amount of calories because it's high in fats and it's got some carbs in there as well. And so something like that, you may even have to reduce. So and that's a healthy source of nutrition that is good for you. I'm not saying that pizza is not good for you. Obviously, pizza is life and it is good for you. But yeah, so that is an example, a perfect example, actually, of how you can like associate it with. Too much of a reduction is not a good thing, but then too little of a reduction may not be fast enough results for you to even be motivated to continue. Mm. You need to find a balance. And that's literally what we're talking about when we're talking about calorie restriction. We simply mean a healthy reduction for you to see fast enough results that are motivating to you. And when Nikhil was talking about like foods and things like that, like about what is like a long-term way of eating and improving your diet, I'm sure you mean, you know, just generally like not being on a deficit forever.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you do it like when we teach people, oh, like, you know, this is what you're going to do, this is a way of eating for now. We talk about it in the way that when you get to a healthy goal weight, we're then going to slowly increase your calories back to maintenance. So say you've made a reduction in your calorie intake by, I don't know, 20% for someone, the 2000 calorie example, we'll keep at that, which would be for 800 calories. Yeah. So, sorry, not 800 calories. 20% reduction in 2000 calories is a 400 calorie deficit. So you're going to be eating 1600 calories. Yeah. So let's say you get to your goal weight, and then your new goal weight, you get to it, and now maintaining that new weight is 1800 calories. So what you would eventually do is add 200 calories back to your diet, and now you're eating more food than you were on the diet, and you are able to maintain your weight and have like this healthy new goal weight that you've achieved, that you've got to, that maybe, you know, how you want to look and how you want to feel, and your clothes feel better and you move better at that weight, you're able to do more at that weight, and you just generally feel better at that weight. Yeah. And now you're not necessarily restricting yourself because you're eating at maintenance. And when you eat at maintenance, your body reacts differently to when you eat in a deficit. When you eat in a deficit long term, and the reason why people talk about diets don't work long term is because when you're restricting calories for a very long period of time, you do mess up the way your hormones are and things like that. When I say mess up, I literally mean like the balance of, you know, satiety and things like that. So you have certain hormones, like hunger hormones, that tell you when you're full and when you're hungry. Those hormones then kind of get a bit out of whack when you're in a deficit for a very, very, very long period of time. And what happens is your body tells you that you're constantly hungry. So you feel more hungry and you feel more, you have more cravings for food and that sort of thing. But as soon as you go back to a deficit, a maintenance, then don't feel like that. You start to go back to normal. Your body starts to feel satisfied after a decent meal and you don't feel hungry all the time. So when you look at it like that, it's just about finding balance and not doing it for too long, and also having breaks. It's, look at it as like, you know how you look at training. Training intensely is not necessarily a bad thing. No one looks at like a hard workout as like, oh, that's harmful to you.
Yeah.
They look at it as like, it's just a hard workout, isn't it? And then the same way they may look at a lighter, easier workout as that's not harmful for you, to you either. It's just an easier, lighter workout. And everyone knows that to see good progress and long-term progress, you need a balance of both. You can't train like a crazy maniac beasting yourself all the time because you're just going to end up feeling wrecked and tired. And the same way, you can't just have easy, light workouts all the time because you're never going to make any progress. Same thing with nutrition. You can't be in a long-term calorie deficit, especially if it's aggressive in terms of like super low calories for a long period of time, because you're going to end up wrecking yourself.
Yeah.
Even if it's just mentally and not actually with your body. Same thing with, you can't be in a calorie surplus on the opposite end because you'll wreck yourself for a long period of time, but a short period of time is not going to make much of a difference. So you need to find balance, and you need to find the balance between two. And the way that we promote that is by telling people to go, you know, focus on weight loss, focus on what you're trying to achieve, get it done, get the calories, stick to it consistently with the right support. then go on to a maintenance phase, even if you haven't reached your goal just yet.
Yeah.
So yeah.
People when often you are feeling a bit fatigued,
go on.
I was going to say people often see that as a step back, but it's actually putting yourself, like you're just staying maybe in time for a sec, but it's setting you better for the future so that you can go back in and, you know, crush it again, basically. But I think the thought of like stopping your diet for a little bit is like, oh, I'm taking a step back, I'm almost gonna, you know, ruin my progress and things like that. But it's not, it's actually a win to be able to maintain your life, especially if you've been an individual who's continuously either been losing weight or gaining weight and never an in between. It's actually a nice feeling to know that you're able to maintain your weight.
Yeah. So someone who's like, let's say, I don't know, pretty slim, or maybe slim is the wrong word, but someone who's happy with their body weight and they're at a healthy weight and they're comfortable with that, but they've just gained a little bit of weight because of, I don't know, just maybe the lockdown or whatever's going on in their life, and they just want to lose a couple of kilos. They can go on a calorie deficit quite quickly, maybe for a couple of weeks, maybe a bit longer, and then come off of it and then go back to the normal way of eating and done.
Mm.
Someone else who's been trying to lose weight for years and years and years and feels like they have a lot of weight to lose to get to a healthy weight that they feel comfortable at, and they have a bit more of a long-term journey, then this is who we're talking to when we're saying something like go on breaks, because of the very reasons we're saying. Like, you can't be in a calorie deficit for 2 years if you're trying to lose 40 kilos. And that's how long it may take you to lose that 40 kilos or 20 kilos or whatever it is. So for you, if you know that your goal is not a short-term goal, the best way to do it may be like 8 weeks of calorie deficit, 2 weeks of a maintenance period, 8 weeks of a calorie deficit, 2 weeks of a maintenance period, or you choose the numbers. Like, you may be able to be consistent for 3 months and you need like a bit more of a month of a break in terms of, I'm not talking about a break from eating healthily or eating sensibly. I'm talking about literally calories here.
Yeah.
Like increasing calories, reducing your calories again. And that will then allow your hormonal function, things like that, to level and become normalized. That way you can then kind of carry on and, you know, keep chipping away and stay consistent. And also mentally allows you to potentially even do those around periods that you normally eat a little bit more. So if you know like a friend's birthday weekend's coming up, that week you could potentially just put yourself on maintenance in the middle of a program. Or in the middle of like a nutrition plan. And that's the way you have to focus it on. Like an athlete who's trying to peak for a competition programs their training, or their coach will program their training plan in a certain way where it's periodized to peak them for that competition. They have seasons or points where they're recovering. They have points where they're training hard. And that's the same way you got to look at your nutrition. And the perfect diet takes that into consideration, so that eventually it can become your long-term diet.
Yeah. I think, you know, recently with the lockdown, a lot of people have struggled. Like, if people have like a weight loss goal right now, a lot of people have struggled with the lockdown. And I was trying to explain to some of our members and people that I've been speaking to that it's okay to build the calories up, change your goal. Yes, the long-term goal is still there, but the short-term goal has kind of changed and you've adjusted to kind of suit you right now. And that's the best way that you can carry on and move forward with that.
It's like when this whole thing first happened, like some of you guys may know that I have a health condition, like that basically I have a compromised immune system. So when coronavirus and all this first came out, I was actually trying to just lose a bit of body fat and get into shape and on a slight calorie deficit. And I know that being in a calorie deficit can reduce your immunity if you're in it for a long-term time. So I decided that, you know, I'm just going to go back to maintenance and maintain my weight so that I'm promoting immunity as opposed to trying to lose weight. So I chose the goal that was suitable for me at that time. And but other people, you know, it was fine for them to do. And that's something you have to consider, like Sadie's saying, like the time that you're in, it's okay to, you know, do that. You know, say you're like, you just don't want to worry about nutrition at the moment. It's the last thing on your mind. You've got a lot going on. Then you can even program in like a period that you're not trying to lose weight. That doesn't mean you're letting go and completely trying to go the other way of like, I'll just eat what I want and calories don't matter. And, you know, like what maybe other people promote in terms of like, oh, just eat healthily and just forget about portion sizes and that sort of thing. No, we're talking about just still keeping the habits that you're trying to build, you know, whether it's like reducing snacks or increasing whatever strategy you're using, keep that strategy, but just maybe increase your portion sizes so that you're not in a calorie deficit and you're in a maintenance phase. And then, yeah. And if you can't do that, so say you're someone who's on or off. So for example, you're either in a calorie deficit, you're eating well, you're eating, you know, you're managing calories well, you're eating healthily, but then the flip side is, if you're not doing that, you're literally just eating whatever you want, junk food, doesn't matter, you have no control over the portion sizes, then you're not in a, you don't have a healthy relationship with nutrition.
Yeah.
You genuinely don't have control of your nutrition. Your nutrition is controlling you. And you were probably someone who would, again, I don't mean it in a salesy or tactic-y way, but you're someone who could potentially like benefit from something like what we're doing with Beyond a Diet and helping people take control of the nutrition, because that's literally the aim of that. And that's the aim of this podcast episode as well, to help you understand that for you to have the perfect diet, you genuinely need to be in control of it. It cannot be in control of you. And it needs to meet those principles of like having enough flexibility, helping you meet your goals. It promotes well-being and it's positive. It's not like a negative thing. It's not doing harm to you. And it's something you can stick to long term. If none of those are met, then you're not necessarily in control of your diet anyway. And you're not in a positive, you don't have a positive relationship with your nutrition. And that may be hard for you to hear, because you'll be like, oh, I am someone who has a positive, but those boxes don't necessarily tick. Well, then maybe you need to ask yourself some hard questions as to, do you genuinely have control of your nutrition then?
Yeah.
And I don't mean little blips, like everyone has moments. Do you get what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And that's not necessarily your fault. For example, like if there's chocolates and crisps and things around me all the time, it's not that I'm not in control of my nutrition. My environment may not be helping me be in control of my nutrition at that point. But most of the time, I am in control of my nutrition. That's why I was talking about most of the time, 80% of the time. But because of the environment you're in, you're going back to old habits. So now, I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking about, you know, those moments of blips. Like, they're just, everyone has them. Even the world's healthiest person will have those kind of moments. We're just humans at the end of the day. You get me? That we have urges to eat food like that looks tasty. And especially if we know what it tastes like and we remember it, it's not that we're weak. It's just food companies make foods to be like that. Like there's certain foods that are addictive and they have formulas to make it addictive. I'm not talking about chemicals and things like that. I'm just talking about balancing things, because they studied our palate. They know that humans are attracted to things that are slightly salty, starchy, have some sugar. They have that umami flavor of like protein. And if they can create a food like that, it becomes highly palatable and highly addictive. So this is why like someone like us will promote things like eating vegetables, trying not to make food that make it taste nice, but not make it say super ultra addictive and hyper palatable, because it's very hard to control the intake of that. Whereas like raw foods and raw vegetables and like greens and things like that, they don't necessarily have those almost like profile of everything your tongue is looking for.
There's only so much you can eat of that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not necessarily saying you have to suffer or you eat a bad, like, you know, unhealthy, I don't know, the food you're eating is boring. It just means that it's not as satisfying as like a bag of Doritos.
Yeah.
That may not be something that you can't control yourself around. Same thing with like, if someone made you start sniffing cocaine, like there's only so much you're going to be able to say no until it becomes your addiction, isn't it? So it's like, you have to look at it like that. It's not that you're weak. It's just sometimes some things are just built to be addictive.
Mm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Is there anything you guys would like to add to everything we've spoken about in terms of like defining the perfect diet and what? Like, I know listening to this at the start, you may be thinking, oh, like I'm going to get some information on like how I should be eating, what is like the perfect ratios of fats and carbs and things like that. Is there anything you'd like to touch on that for someone who is expecting that sort of information?
I think that's overplayed a little. I mean, in terms of it, you don't need to really concern yourself with those sort of things. If you're just starting out and want to get the perfect diet, just all of the stuff that we already said.
Yeah, like simplicity, you mean?
Yeah, simplicity. Yeah, exactly.
And why do you say that? Like, why is it not important? Like, why is the amount of carbs you eat and things like that not something someone should be even worrying about?
Just because nutrition and diets and things like that are already so overcomplicated, and there's such a overhaul of knowledge that doing the simple, even if it seems too simple, I think people think it's too good to be true almost. But starting off that way can go basically a long way. It can really go a long way. Not to say it doesn't matter. Like, further down the line, yes, you can look at sort of, you know, making sure that you're getting a sufficient amount of protein and maybe sort of timing your carbs around your training sessions and things like that. But I mean, if you're looking just to sort of, you know, eat a little bit better and maintain it for forever. Oh, that's a good point, actually. To maintain a great diet, you know, you want to look for something that is sustainable rather than optimal. So something that you can do for a long period of time rather than striving for the best all the time.
I think that's why a lot of people are unsuccessful, or they calorie counting that has a bad rap, is because they try and do too much too soon, overcomplicate it, and like you say, keep it simple, follow the basics and do them really well, and you'll get to where you want to be.
And when we're talking about follow the basics, what we're talking about is follow the fundamentals. So like, as humans, we all have a certain scientific profile that we follow. Like, we function, obviously everyone functions slightly differently, but there are certain rules that apply to all. So like calories, like some, you know, like at different ages and things like that, your metabolism is your metabolism. Like, unless you have some specific health issues and things like that, most people's metabolism functions very similarly. It's dictated mainly by the amount you move and your weight in general and your build and your gender. But apart from that, there's like people's like differences in terms of your metabolism stuff's not going to be that different. That's why there are general formulas to give you a ballpark figure of, like, you know, where, how many calories you burn, that sort of thing. But if you can meet these fundamental principles we talk about, like things like to lose weight, you need to get into calorie deficit, then you will basically start to see results. So what we like to do when we work with people is get them down, the fundamentals down, make it so simple. And it's not simplistic. It's not like oversimplification. It's just making it easy for someone to succeed is what I'm trying to say. We like to make it very easy for success and do it without so much complication that you're like, you know, it's just second nature. It's not something that you stress about. It's something that is just for you. It's just like, oh, like, I'm doing one or two things and I'm like seeing progress. I'm enjoying myself. I'm doing it in a positive way. I'm not hating who I am. I'm not hating this process of becoming healthier. I'm actually enjoying it. And that makes your journey positive, because most people set out on a goal to lose weight as a positive thing. They don't go, oh, you know, I want to have a negative relationship with myself and I want to hate myself and hate what I see in the mirror. They're often talking about, you know, I want to be more confident about myself. I want to be able to move more. I want to have less restrictions in life. I want my fitness to support my, you know, what's important to me. And if you're doing that, then that's a positive thing. So what you should be doing to achieve those goals should be a positive thing. And that's the perfect diet. Something that's positive, something that's easy for you to actually do long term. And when you focus on the fundamentals and not go get overwhelmed on the things that don't necessarily matter that much, because there's always a level of importance, and it goes like calories, maybe protein next, and then other macros and water and that sort of thing. Like, if you focus on the steps, focus on what's important, get the checks and balances right, you'll get to where you want to be. And if you're listening to this and you're thinking, you know, that's literally what I need, that's what I want, that's the support I need and the help I need, then again, I'm going to tell you the same thing. And the reason why I keep plugging it and saying it is because I genuinely believe in what we're saying. Genuinely believe that I know we can help people because we are already helping people. So head over to beyondthediet.co.uk, pre-register your interest for our next intake, and we will tell you exactly how we can support you and help you out and help you achieve your goals and help you have a positive relationship with food and you be in control of your nutrition as opposed to your nutrition being in control of you. So I think that's a good place to end, you guys, unless there's anything you'd like to add to the discussion we've said.
No, that's a great place. Really good.
What we would do is we will catch you on the next episode, guys. Please let us know your thoughts. As always, we would love to know what you're thinking. Leave us a review wherever you listen to this. Leave us a comment if you're watching this or you look at it on Facebook. Subscribe, turn on notifications, subscribe to the podcast. Do all of the good stuff because it really does help us out and help us reach more people. We really do appreciate your support. So thank you. Over and out.
Bye.
Bye.